So I'm going to try to share in 12 minutes, and then we'll pray. And I like the picture because I remember I grew up, my forming years was in the Northern Cape, Verboer, on Botswana border. So the sensation, the smell of rain and the feeling of rain falling down on me still has the same effect. I get like a little boy in the inside. I want to do Peppa Pig and splash in the water. I want to do running around in the water. I love the concept of rain. I love the gift, the sensation of waiting for something that we all need and getting it. Joy is the natural response to being united with that which you desire. And that's why I love this picture of rain. And I think for everyone who grows up in South Africa, and I mean the last few years when we had drought, it's the same sensation. Remember the first time it rained, all our kids, everyone was outside. I remember driving to Stillby for a holiday, and we drive out of the Western Cape, and it's so extremely dry. And then you get there at Dale, just outside Swellendam. See, Riversdal is iets anders. Anyway, some Dale. To remember stopping there, and there were sprayers spraying for hours and hours, like massive fields at one of the places. And our kids, some kids have literally never seen. You see three, like Marguerite was young. So they've never seen sprayers on. It's not something that you see because we come from a drought. And the kids were just running. All the kids from Cape Town, you could spot them, and their adults. Was running around in the sprayers for hours and hours just because of the sensation. And I think when we talk about today about waiting for God and waiting for God's Spirit, I think I have a similar sensation on the inside. I think we have a similar sensation on the inside. A real longing for the move of God. A real longing for God to come and revive, to come and restore. A deep longing. A longing that is not just methodological in terms of us having a meeting or stuff, but really encounters with God that is not prompted by us and that is not limited by our capacity. Meetings with God, a pouring out of His Spirit. And that's, I think, why so many of us are so attracted to just what God is doing in the college campuses. It started on one, but the college campuses in America at the moment spawning are over the old world. Just the Osbury of a revival, a proper revival of God among students that is not orchestrated by some big anointed preacher of God and not controlled by one either. Last weekend, the campus in Osbury, so there's been a revival, there's been an unstopped meeting for the past 3 weeks going on of people just praying and meeting and people driving. So small campus, the town usually has 6,000 people staying there. Over the weekends now, when people are not working, there are more than 15,000 people every weekend just coming to meet with God. And they don't have time to wait for the services because the halls, the queues, some of the halls are literally a mile long, 1.6 kilometer long. And eventually people just stop and pray. And so it's like just meetings with God, people stopping to worship. So people just seek God. They don't seek some anointed preacher. They don't seek some orchestrated event. They're just looking for God. People are hungry for God, and that's been spawning all over America and hundreds of campuses now, the news are saying. So it's amazing. So when I say feel it, it's here, wait for it, it's here, this is the sensation of we've been praying for God to send the heavy rains. For years now, God has been saying, I will send the heavy rains. I will send the heavy rains again. And this is something that we're sensing. So I want to read from this text all over Shofar, where Shofar was started 30 years ago in a student campus in Stellenbosch. We were students during those years, some of us were during those early years. And in a short span of time, you know, 50, after about the first 8 years, then Tigerberg campus, 6 years, Tigerberg campus was planted. Dale and Karin were part of that plant back then. And that was the first of about 55 churches that are planted in Shofar over the years, just from people who just seek God. Just seek God. Students that just seek God. And all over South Africa and over Europe and in Southern Africa where we have churches, our churches today are praying together. So that's why I'm not going to talk too much. like us just to, the reason why we didn't orchestrate a fast weekend is quite simply my feeling, and I'll see your faces now, was if I would announce another 3-day fast meeting out of your schedule, you might have to pray to have the strength to come. So Karin has organized with D4 a meeting date on the 26th of May. So it's just before Pentecost. We'll have a weekend, a time of prayer and fasting together. I don't want to clutter it now in the beginning of the year, so fit it in now. But I do want to invite you to pray and fast when you schedule your time with God. So this is the text that Pastor Heinrich would read, and I want to read to all of you. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 8. Jesus has literally stood out of the grave, met his disciples on a few occasions on the beach, and just a previous page in your Bible. He met his disciples. They went back fishing. They didn't know what this whole Jesus move was about. You know, what are we supposed to do now? When Jesus comes to them, he breathes on them and he says, "Receive my Holy Spirit." Spends approximately 6 weeks with them in the visibility of many people. And there were 500 people gathered together on this hill outside of Jerusalem where he was teaching them again. And then he said to them, while he stayed with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. He's saying, "I'm going to go to my Father now, but don't go away. Don't go on with life as normal. Don't just rush into your normal schedules now. Stop, stop. Make room. Make room for me. Make room for my Spirit. I want to do something." And he said to them, "But wait for the promise of the Father." I love this title of the Holy Spirit. Paul uses in Galatians chapter 3 as well. Wait for the promised Spirit, the long-awaited Spirit. That Spirit of God that was promised so long ago that you can see operating in some places, but it will be democratized to all of you. Which he said, "You heard from me when John the baptized with water, but you will be baptized, you'll be immersed, you'll be filled, you'll be flooded, you'll be covered, you'll be drenched, changed in your nature because the Spirit of God will come upon you not many days from now." And so that when they had come together, they asked him, "So Lord, is your plan now to restore the kingdom of Israel? Is this what you're going to do now? Are you going to bring a political reform? Because God knows we need it. Are you going to bring economic reform now? Because God knows we need it now. You know, Jesus, you are Messiah now. You're the chief, you're the king." Remember, from their perspective, and they were not wrong, Jesus was going to change their socioeconomic environment. He's the Messiah, like King David, who's going to come and bring reform. And he's saying, "So at this time now, is that what you're going to do now, Jesus? Are you going to change? Are you going to rule out the Romans and the Herodians, those oppressive and those perverse leaders, those corrupt people? Will you cleanse out the temple again? Are you going to change the economic, political situation in our country? Please, Jesus, will you please change it now? Is this what you're going to do now?" And Jesus smiled and he said, "No, it's not for you to know the times and the season that the Father has fixed by his own authority. I've been trying to say to you, you should look a bit deeper in all my teachings. But you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There'll become another kingdom that will transform you, so that your changed lifestyle will be witnesses of the reality of the kingdom of God that is here and that has come. You're looking for economic change. You're looking for political change." Jesus saying, "I'm doing something so much deeper than a government that is just. I'm doing so much, something so much bigger than an economic or a judicial system that works well. I'm doing something way bigger. And I want you to see it. But for that, I need you to make room for me. I need you to come away for a while. I need you to lock yourself in a room for a while and wait." He's saying in a few days, not in months to come, not in years to come, but just in a few days. It's here. Just set aside and wait. Text is a mirror to me, to our society, as always. I mean, Can you imagine the upheaval? I was just so blown away as I was praying and thinking just about this situation. I mean, the weeks before this. So obviously, this is a story from the disciples written of Jesus' life. So we see a small fragment of the society, but we can see the oppressive, violent Romans ruling violently, dictatorship in the country. We can see a very perverse, very unjust, corrupt local government and a local priesthood, both the Herodians from the Jews' side, pagan, immoral, sex, perverse people, like really, really, that's Herod and his people. And we can see a priesthood that is just all about political power and gain. It's conniving. It's nepotism. Some people say nepotism is where family members are promoted even as much as family values. You'll get it later. Anyway, this is the same for most of South African local politics. Anyway, so he's saying that, and then we see that, and you can just imagine, just a few weeks ago, there was a just man killed with a mob rising up. But now, a few weeks later, life goes on in Jerusalem. So this is just another crisis, just another thing, nothing big. You know, this is how it's always been. Life goes on. There's this big acedia, this apathy. Guys, something big happened here, and this was not right. But, you know, it's just not the first time it happened. So life just moves on. And I think, if I look at my life, if I look at our lives, this is what we see. We see a need. We all crave for political government change. We all crave for a just judicial system. We all crave for economic justice, you know, just in our country. We crave these things. Things are not right. And big things happen. But, you know, I have to keep spinning this little wheel. This hamster has to keep running. You know, I have to get on with life. Life has to get, kids must be educated. I must, you know, life goes on. And I can see the same situation for us. And if we pray to Jesus, I wonder how often our prayers is not the same as the disciples. Jesus, will you please fix the government? Is this the time when you're going to fix the government? And Jesus' question back to us is, would you set some time aside? Because I have a bigger agenda. Would you, maybe, I want to make you a witness of that which you want to see. You want a kingdom there? I want the kingdom to start inside. I have been saying it to you for so long. The kingdom starts inside. It starts here. And I want you to step aside so that I can do something here. So that you'll be my witnesses. Not just in Jerusalem. You just want Jerusalem fixed. Judea, Galilee, all your enemies, up until the ends of the earth. And historically, we saw what Jesus did by these few guys who obeyed and set themselves, who made room for God. Who made room for God. Is this the time, Jesus, that you're going to fix the government? Jesus, like, yes, no. The Father can do what he wants. My invitation to you is set yourself aside. I want to do something which is going to set a fire way bigger than political change in your local government. I've got a bigger plan. It's beautiful, no? Jesus saying, yeah, and I would just want us to look at this verse. Wait. He's saying, wait, don't leave. It's something worth waiting for, he's saying. It's something worth waiting for. I know that you have to go on with life. I know that you've had lots of teaching and there's so many things. But Jesus said there's something worthwhile to wait for. And you need that. He's saying you need that. I want to give you a gift that you need. You can't do it without me. There's a gift and a deposit, disciples, that you need. You've had my teachings for 3 years. You've seen miracles. You've done healings. You've preached the gospel. There's something else that you need. Come and wait. There's something that you cannot do by yourself. You need it. You have to receive it. It's a gift. You have to wait. The Father's going to give it to you. And it's going to be tested by a bit of patience. If you say yes to this, you say no to a few other things. So just put everything on hold for a while. Come and wait. It's the Father's promise. The Father only gives good gifts, James says. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. The Father wants to give it to you. The Father is trustworthy. The Father is reliable. It's going to be good. I want to give it to all my children, the Father says, to everyone. It's not just a few. The Spirit will fall on all your descendants, all your children, everyone. I want to give it wide. I want to distribute it wide. It's not for a select few people. Must be received by faith like every other gift from the Father. Must be received by faith. You're going to wait. And the big thing is, just the Spirit, remember when he said this to them, he was referring to many Old Testament texts, among which Jeremiah 31 is. There's a waiting. God says, I want to make a new covenant with the house of Israel. I want to make something new. Your current way of living is insufficient to express my kingdom. I want to make something new. I want to give you a new covenant. I want to give you a new spirit. I want to change it so that your relationship with me is not governed by external things, but by internal reality that is visible outside. Give you a new heart, a new spirit. When you're looking at our country, when you're looking at our church, the Church of Jesus in South Africa, and you wonder if you ever caught yourself going like, oh God, can these bones live? That was the context in which Jesus saying, I'm giving you a new spirit. And he says, yes, these bones can live. I can revive something. I want you to think for a moment of previous moves of God, of what we're standing on the brink of. In every single country in the world, you find a Wesleyan church, a Moravian church. In every single block in South Africa, suburb, you find a Dutch Reformed church. I just want you just to take a moment and just think, wow. Like, wow. This is not some CEO that said in a business school decided, how will we do this? This is a move of God that starts at a prayer meeting, slowly trickling, so that we find monuments a few hundred years later in every single nation in the world. Regardless of what you think of the Roman church, you find monuments of movements of God in the past in every town in the world. Baptists, it's a move of God. And we're standing on the same brink as God saying, come away for a while. I want to give you something. You're praying sincerely because you need change. God is saying, you look wrong. This is the bigger picture. Step away. Come and receive something of me that will bring the reformation that you're praying for. You want me to fix that? God is saying, come. You want the new government in Jerusalem? Come to me. I will give it, but I'll give it to you. And you'll become my witness of a new reality which you have not seen before. In the last days, the Lord said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. This is the promised spirit of God. Young men will see visions. And he's saying, I want to baptize you. I want to immerse you. I want to drench you. I want to cover you with my spirit. And it's I myself. And he's saying, soon, wait for expectation. Not many days from now. Jesus said, not many days. Your patience will be tested. Not many days. I really have a feeling that this is what God is doing. We can see it. We've been praying it. I really have a feeling that God is doing this. This is the word we got even before the Osbury revival happened. Eh? The Osbury revival, it's amazing. If you look at some of the interviews, I'm closing. If you're looking at some of the interviews, it's beautiful. There's a young boy, student, who sat in services similar to ours, but it's more campus services, so it's like a Christian campus. So they are seminary campus, and he's saying students, while the preacher is preaching, and he's saying boring preaching, but some of the students are preaching, these preachers are preaching, the guys are on their phones, or they're making notes, or they're scribbling a text to the guy next door, or laughing at someone falling asleep. People not hungry and attentive to God and God's word. Us. Our generation, eh? Maybe not you, but the person next to you, or the person who's not here because the seat is open. Us. This is us. This is not like, yes, or and he's saying, so a few of them just started to pray. just like sincerely started to pray to God. He says two of his friends, they just started praying a few months, just before their chapel, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Just before that, in the mornings, God, we pray. God, will you do something? God, I see carelessness, acedia, spiritual apathy. I really don't, people who don't care about God or God's stuff, it doesn't make sense in the rest of their life. It's disconnected from their survival. So he started praying. So now that he sees this, he goes like, oh, wow. So God really does hear. God really does hear. The sermon, the message which spawned this whole event was not really the message. Zach was he announced himself preacher, PhD student at the university. He's a minister. He came to preach. And I looked at the message, at the sermon. You can go and find it. It's quite... Dit klink my soos die preke. Dis nie so hard, hee. Dis nie anointed, hee. Daar's niks click phrases, nie. Enigste cool ding wat ek gesê het is, Zach is back. And he preached from the next text. So they're working through Romans. So Romans 12, the second half. A love in practice. 13 verses, 13 commands. Just what does love in practice look like? He shares a bit of his testimony, what God has done for him. And then he said, but it's really like, it's like a plane. It was like a service like this. And at the end, he goes and he says, okay, goed, sir, I invite you now to just take a moment before you go to your class and just pray to confess your sins. If there's something that the Lord is saying to you about lovelessness in practice, dishonoring someone, not being kind on your heart, harboring grudges, being selfish, just confess that to God. And then he left. And the worship team just came forward to facilitate something. And two students walked up and started to fall on their knees and pray. Just simple, but not dramatic. They just knelt and they prayed because they felt just do. And people started leaving, going to the classes, like you will leave at the end of the service. And the next moment, some people at the door just sensed something and turned around. It was a tangible, visible cloud in the room. They all described it. It looks like a cloud. It's a fog cloud. And they felt drawn. And they came just to kneel to pray. It's amazing. That prayer meeting hasn't stopped in 3 weeks. And people are drawn from all over, just like John, people going to John the Baptist in the wilderness. I mean, how does that make sense? Why would you walk into the wilderness to be baptized into a river in the desert? Because God draws moments that God meets with these people. It's very simple. I'm going to stop the rest of the message now, and I just want to invite you just to do this, and not force anything, but really want you to pray. If you're not hungry for a move of God, just to say to God, ek is nie regtig honger nie. I don't care. Just say it. If you say my life is good enough with God, then say to God, I think my life is good enough with you, God. This is what Ross is talking about and what we see in the history. I'm not really drawn to it. God, will you give me a desire? Will you give me a picture of what it looks like when you start moving into my life? And then the next second thing, the point of a revival is not big gatherings. The point that Jesus was saying here is simply, I'm inviting you not for a big thing. I'm inviting you for this simple thing. Come to me to be drenched in my presence for a transformed heart. You're wanting big change outside because everything is wrong on the outside. You are oppressed. There is a corrupt government. There is violence. You are ostracized. You're being mocked. You're not the popular people. It's not good. There's moral decay in the country. Everything is wrong. He's saying, come to me and be drenched by my spirit. That's the invitation. You want to see a change? Come here. I'm going to start a change here. And it's the point is God to say, I want to fill you with my spirit. I want to drench you with my spirit so that your life will be a tangible witness of what it looks like when God moves, when God reigns. That's a simple thing. I want to set you ablaze. I want to set you ablaze. The point is not unending services. The point is not any of those things. God is wanting to do something on the inside. So I want to invite you. So Dale and Corinne, if you would come forward. I want to invite you to come forward. And I'm glad that this morning that we had a baby dedication, families. And I'm glad that we had LZ share about God's work and social economic reform. I'm glad for these two things. We can have a few other points coming up here, but I want you just to evaluate your life and your desires and your feelings. To say, God, these are the things that bother me, but how's it going at my work, and how's it going with my people who work for me, and how's it going with my family? Just to bring those things to God in prayer and to say, Lord, I want to ask for this one thing. Will you revive me? Will you flood me with your spirit again? Will you create in me a desire and a patience to hang, to make room for you so that you can do what you want to do? Can we do that? Can we do that? Just before we do anything, would you kindly just smile at the person next to you? And the reason why I'm saying that is I want you to know that you are not the only person in this room who hears God. Okay. Also 120 ander. Okay. Amen. Can we have the lights dimmed at the back, please? Father, God, I thank you that you are present and that your kingdom is present, God. We thank you that we can see you moving in places in the world that our hearts are so joyful, God, for all those students, God, and all the old people coming and everyone coming, Lord, to be with you, simply to be reunited with you, God, just to be set ablaze in your presence, God. And God, our hearts are longing for this, God, for more of you, for connection with you, for visible, tangible connection and infilling with you, God, that you will set us ablaze in our hearts, God, that we may love you with all our hearts and souls and minds, and you will help us to love our neighbors as ourselves, God. We pray that you will fill us up. What we prayed for joy this morning, for Joycelyn, we pray for us, that you will fill us with your presence and fill us with your joy, that we may overflow with joy and with hope, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So now I want to invite you, just to where you are, to simply just start a conversation with God and to pray to God. To say, God, I'm hungry for you, or I'm not. And I desire you, and desire that you will fill me with your presence. And God, these parts of my life I'm bringing to you, it doesn't feel good, it doesn't feel alive, it doesn't feel right. And just to respond with whatever the Lord says to you, I really want to invite you, if you're shy because you're sitting next to someone you know, then make a bit of space so you can pray softly to God by moving your mouth. Amen. Let's pray.